Hi, this is Joe Roberts with OneWineDude.com, and you're listening to One Wine Dude Radio. Today I'm talking to Stu Smith. He's a winemaker in Northern California. I rather like his wines, but today we're not talking about that. We're talking about his blog. He's the voice behind the blog, Biodynamics is a Hoax. This is part of our ongoing coverage here about biodynamic viticulture, and it's a bit of a point-counterpoint to last week's interview with biodynamic viticulture consultant Alan York. Let's have a listen. Hi, Stu. It's Joe Roberts. How you doing?
Hi, Joe. Fine.
Hey, do you have a few minutes to talk now?
I do. Sure.
Oh, excellent. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better than this morning. That's maybe I just needed a day off.
That's how I feel about every third day of the week.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And unfortunately, then I got all involved in reading a whole bunch of stuff, and it wasn't quite such a relaxing day.
Hey, well, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
Sure.
I'm trying to do a bit of sort of, I guess I'd call it point-counterpoint or balanced views, you know, over successive weeks of around biodynamic viticulture. So I had an interview earlier today with Alan York, who's I don't know if you've heard of him. I guess he's a fairly I don't want to say famous, but relatively famous face, you know, with behind biodynamics, and I guess primarily through working on the in the Tuscan vineyards that Sting has, converting that to biodynamics. So I'm glad we get a chance to talk. Sting? Sting?
Oh, you mean the okay. All right.
Yeah, rock star. Not involved day to day, but he does own the place.
And that's in Tuscany?
Yeah, in a sub area, Chianti.
Sure.
And so the goal is to talk with you.
Another rock star moves into the winery.
I seem to get attracted to that. I don't know if it's my music side business and background, but even when I'm not looking for that, I end up finding it. You know, with Alan.
Yeah.
I actually didn't realize till later that he worked with Sting. So yeah, the idea is then to talk about sort of the other side of the view of biodynamics, which you certainly have been representing on your blog, Biodynamics
Sure.
as Folks. And I guess the first thing I'd ask you is what drove you to create the blog? It's sort of you consider it kind of an attack on biodynamics or the area of biodynamic viticulture.
I like to think of it as the only alternative view of biodynamics in the world. And that's a bit of hyperbole. There are some other people. But no one who has made the effort to be specific, to provide a specific alternative view to biodynamics. Up until my blog, there'd been a few articles here and a few articles there, a little bit of skepticism, but nothing, nothing really pointed and how can I put this? Dedicated to providing an alternative view, and the basis for it was I was not all that different from most other people. I didn't know much about biodynamics, didn't care much about it. As long as it didn't bother me, I didn't care about it. But then, let me back up and say that I've had an overarching concern that the American culture has been slowly moving away from science, from believing in science, from accepting science.
I live in Pennsylvania, where they tried to get creationism in some of the schools, so I can share that concern.
that was not one that went unnoticed by me. By the way, what part of Pennsylvania are you in?
I'm just west of Philadelphia, and
Downingtown.
West of Philadelphia. Yeah, Downingtown is where I live.
My mother's family landed in Philadelphia in 1730, and they homesteaded and pioneered out in just east of Reading.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, just an aside. So anyway, I've had this, you know, as I say, a work in progress for a number of years that America was just going away from understanding science. High schools were de-emphasizing science. Kids weren't able to compete in science with other countries as well as we had in the past. That doesn't belittle American science, which is, you know, doing great work. I think there's more American Nobel science laureates than any other country, but, you know, I could be mistaken. And you know, with that in the back of my mind, I started seeing some things rise up in the newspapers, both in the St. Helena Star and in the Press Democrat, Santa Rosa Press Democrat, where the biodynamic people were making some really rather outrageous claims.
What were those?
Well, three things fundamentally. One, their soils are healthier. That their soils are alive. That their vines are healthier, and that their wines express a better sense of place. And that's, you know, you can condense it down into those three things.
Yeah.
You know, healthier soil, healthier vines, wines that better show terroir, a sense of place.
Right. And I've certainly heard all three from the biodynamic camp. Yep.
And I'm going, well, to me, that's like yelling fire in a movie theater, because I go, you're thumping me, because you're telling me that my soil is dead. You're telling me that my vines are unhealthy, and you're telling me that your wines are better than mine. And I go, prove it, sucker.
And you make good wines. I'll give you that.
Right.
You definitely get props
you.
On the good wines.
So I just simply go, you know, prove it. So I wrote a few letters, and I did a letter over Press Democrat, which is what really set it off. And Peg Melnick started a blog. That basically pitted my views against Mike Benziger's, and the post went on for a week. When I finally printed it, it was 20 pages. Now, I have to admit, I baited him. But nonetheless, it was a real eye-opener to me of just how can I say this nicely, how loony some of these people are. And as I said to my brother, I wasn't going to Sonoma County for 6 months unless I was packing heat. Some of the stuff was so crazy. and I say that in jest. And so that really gave me the idea that that there needs to be an alternative view, because up until then, nobody was challenging what these people were saying, and people are starting to believe it. And I did some reading, and I got Steiner, and I started reading Steiner, and I'm going, good God, this is what these people are promoting. This is what their background is. I said, somebody's got to stand up and say, you know, bullshit is bullshit. And that's how I got started on this.
So you mentioned that you felt there was a paucity of view, alternative views, or none, actually. Do you think part of that's because the stuff is so hard to understand? I mean, I've taken a kind of a middle of the road viewpoint, still trying to figure out where I stand on the topic.
I
trying to figure out, you know, trying to read the books or figure out what the heck it's all about. I mean, it's maddening. I mean, do you think that's a big impediment?
No, actually, I don't. I'm guessing that most of the people that are biodynamic or believe in biodynamic don't read Steiner because they can't. I believe that what they do is that they read Demeter. They go on the Demeter website, and they go from Demeter forward. They really ignore Steiner. They may get a few of the little pamphlets on how to do the preparations. They may even own Steiner. Agriculture, you know, when I say Steiner, I mean agriculture by Steiner. But I don't think they read it. Most of the people I've talked to have not read it. I think the other part of your question is very, very complicated to answer, and that is people are afraid. I weekly get people to say, I read your blog, I love it, go for it. Somebody's got to stand up for it, for what you're doing. And I go, well, why don't you? I can't do that. You know, I've got to have a job. I have customers. I have this, that. People are afraid, literally afraid to, and you know, the wine business is all about being positive. It's a great vintage. It's a great wine. It's a great vineyard. It's a great crop. Everything we do is great. We never have a hiccup. We never do anything wrong. We never admit to anything that isn't just perfect.
Yeah,
right?
I had a little fun with that not too long ago, I guess a few months back now, where I sort of made a fake template of vintage reports for California, you know, especially for Northern California, because everything always ended in optimal ripeness, and it drove me nuts. So I definitely see that pattern.
So I'm being negative. I mean, and frankly, it's one of the things I don't like about what I'm doing is I hate to be negative. I hate to go after people who really believe in what it is that they're doing. I mean, that's really hard for me. But that's second. The other part of it is that people simply won't speak up. They're afraid to. I have vineyard managers who go, yeah, I farm biodynamically. I think these people are nuts, but I take the money. And frankly, I like it because it's so expensive. I make a lot more money dealing with biodynamic because we got to do all this work, all this, you know, another vineyard. We don't have to do all this stupid stuff. But I got to hire all these people, and I make money off of it. I'm not going to stand up and say you guys are nuts.
None
of it's cheap. And so there's a lot of that that's out there. And frankly, that was a big surprise to me. I had not realized just how few people are willing to stand up and say no. A friend of mine, Bob Steinhauer, who retired as the superintendent of vineyards at Derringer after many, many, many years, probably one of the best viticulturalists in the North Bay, said to some people, look, you want me to help you with biodynamics? I won't do it. And they said, well, what do you mean? He says, you know, you got harvest days. Are you not going to harvest for the first 3 weeks in September because the moon and the sun isn't in the right phase? Are you nuts? If the grapes are ripe, we're going to pick them. And if I'm involved in a project and you're not going to pick the grapes when they're ripe because of some stupid, you know, root day or leaf day, I don't want anything to do with you. But he is one of the few people who think, you know, who said, I won't do it. I won't take your money.
It's interesting that you you touched on the fact you said you didn't like that it was negative. And I think one of the criticisms in the blog sphere around your blog has been, well, it's like sort of feels like it's on the attack, but no one is forcing anybody to go biodynamic. So, you know, why go on what appears to be the offensive? And it sounds like your retort to that is no one else is doing it, and it's the only way to get the alternative message across that this stuff is kind of loony. Is that? Does that sound like the right interpretation?
And I'm not really sure that there's a right or a wrong interpretation. I would put it like this. One, the blog has to be entertaining, or as entertaining as I am capable of it. And I am not a writer. I'm not a journalist by nature. If there's one thing I am by nature, it's a skeptic. And I was educated in the sciences. My undergraduate degree was in economics, and I'm not claiming that to be a science. It's a soft science, but it's true as heck getting a lot more science today. But when I did my master's in viticulture and oenology, I had to go back and I had to take hard sciences, the basic, you know, chemistry and inorganic chemistry and biochemistry and bacteriology and all of those, you know, things. They taught me how to become a critical thinker and how to look at things critically. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any other way to, I guess when I look at the blog, I try to use Steiner as much as possible, because I don't think anybody would believe me if I paraphrase Steiner.
Right.
And I make fun of Steiner. There's no question of it. And I do think Steiner is a fraud. Anybody who spoke to the dead in seances and took money from people is both a fraud and a charlatan. There's just no other way around that. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who can speak to the dead. I don't think anybody's ever spoken to the dead in my world, you know, in my life.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Okay. And totally so if Steiner took money to hold seances, which he did, so that he could speak to the dead, which he claimed he did, in my book, he's a fraud. Then when I started reading Steiner, I mean, I read Steiner 3 times. I still am not sure what it says. It is so hard to read. I have to read it very slowly. My book is completely marked up, you know, with dog-eared pages and little post-its all over the thing.
I'll give you credit, because I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't get through the tiniest portion of it. I gave up.
Yeah. The other one, you know, back to Steiner. Anybody who claims that he knows that the Atlanteans flew around on airships that were powered by the power of germinating seeds is a liar.
I hadn't heard that one. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. He's a liar. He also said that the Atlanteans were so strong-willed that if they touched a rock, they could tell you what the components of the rock were. And that if they lost an arm, appendage, a finger, they could grow it back through sheer willpower. Now, to me, that's just a Barnum and Bailey cross with Timothy Leary.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy is incredibly out there. And I find the people who are farming biodynamics to be very genuinely nice people. But they're ignorant. And they are living the definition of ignorance.
You know, one way that you could look at it, and it's one I've discussed with a few people in the blogosphere. I think Ken Payton was one. You know, his Reign of Terroir.
Oh, yeah.
You know, has been pretty vocal about some of the posts that you've done. And you know, one of the topics we talked about was, if you view it a bit like religion, you know, and it tends to generate that kind of almost religious fervor in the wine community anyway. When you view it, if you view it in that sort of prism, that context, you could, one of the conclusions you could reach could be, well, yeah, I guess it's sort of like, you know, folks who who find solace in a religious text like the Bible, or you know, Buddhists who believe in reincarnation, or folks who, you know, still think the Egyptian gods like Seti rule and things. Yeah, you could say if they're believing in it and they're not hurting themselves and not hurting others, and the results are positive, like they live a better life or they make a better wine or whatever, then is it really that big of a deal, right? You know, should we actually be having such passionate arguments and discussions about it? You know, would it be better to just say, sort of live and let live? They're not hurting themselves, not hurting anybody else. The results are good. What the heck?
I would absolutely agree with you if they didn't claim superiority in the real world. If they wanted to live their lives in this kind of ethereal world of mystic cosmic powers, fine. But don't then come to me and say that my soils are healthier, my vines are healthier, my wine is better. Oh, prove it? No, no, no. We don't have to prove it. We're biodynamics. We're part of the mystic world. We are beyond science. We don't have to play in your world. But, you see, they do want to play in our world because they want to claim superiority. But then they back off and they go, ah, nope, nope, you can't challenge us. So they can't have it both ways. If they want to play in their world, let them. I have no problem with it. But when they cross over into the real world of claiming superiority as a farming paradigm, which they do, then they have to put up and they are open for criticism.
And have you had proponents of biodynamics claim that superiority in sort of blanket in general, or have they
done it?
Yeah, the experiences I've had have been more that they say versus a very conventional, you'd say more table wine type production, right, where you're going for high yields, that sort of stuff, where the biodynamics, in fact, wouldn't probably be an alternative in those situations anyway, right? But if you're looking...
I think what you're trying to get at is that biodynamic is really only in the upper end of wine grape growing. 99% of the wine consumed in the world, consumers don't care about whether it's biodynamically grown or even know what biodynamic farming is or cares to know. We are arguing over a very small little fraction of the business.
Right.
And but it really doesn't matter whether it's a tiny fraction or a large fraction. It's a growing faction. You have some of the most influential wineries in the world that are farmed biodynamically. You have others in Napa Valley that are moving toward biodynamic. And I think the consumer and the other growers and the people have a right to know what biodynamics really is without it being just a shuck and jive type deal. And that's what my blog is there to provide an alternative view, because there is no other alternative view. Nobody has gone out there and read Steiner. Nobody has gone out there. As an example, have you been on the Demeter website?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you should. And one of the things I found is that Demeter now certifies wineries. But those standards aren't anywhere on the Demeter website. In other words, when you say, okay, what does it take to become a certified Demeter, you know, biodynamic winery? Those standards aren't publicized. When I was at the short course for biodynamic farming in Rutherford at the beginning of December, they said, you know, oh yeah, we now certify wineries for biodynamic wine. So you have to be a biodynamic grower, and then you have to be a biodynamic winery. And they said, well, we don't allow acidulation. We don't allow spinning cone and reverse osmosis. And they do allow use of up to 100 parts per million of potassium sulfite. And I asked, can you add water at the must? And they said, no, you can't add water at the must. And then they came back and said, yes, you can. But it's not on their website anywhere. So how do you know what's there? Also, Demeter charges a fee for all of these vineyards to be inspected every year, and then at least one vineyard that I know of has to pay 1% of their revenue to Demeter. Biodynamic is the only other farming paradigm that's owned by a private company. Biodynamics is a product that Demeter sells. Think of it as a manufacturer. And they own it, and they're marketing it, and they're doing sales. There's no organic. Nobody owns organic farming. Nobody is out there making a profit from organic farming because they own the name. Nobody is out there with conventional farming or with a sustainable farming. There are regulatory agencies, but it's not owned by a private company. And Demeter is a private company with a product which they are marketing and hang on just a sec.
Sure.
Hello? Julianne? Sorry about that.
No worries.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a,
I guess
It's a
you're
product.
yeah, you're saying, and I think the typical view that I think most people have, and it's only going to be the more probably the most educated consumers out there, you know, who are following it, and those a lot of folks in the industry. I think the view they have is that it's a bit like organic viticulture in that you don't you can use pieces of it and parts of it and not have a particular certification, right? You can just
No, there's
do
no
that.
such thing. You
Yeah.
can't do that. You can't do that. A lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I do a little bit of biodynamic." They're not biodynamic farmers then. The only way you can be a biodynamic farmer is to be certified by biodynamic, and to do that, you have to use the preparations yearly. You can't be a little bit pregnant. You can't be a little bit biodynamic. Either you're biodynamic or you're not biodynamic. There's no middle ground with Demeter.
And so that's part of the what is that part of what drives you with the blog, is exposing things like that, or
Exactly.
bringing that kind of the more collective consciousness.
Well, the other one too is that a lot of people, they say they don't use pesticides, right? Well, the fine print is they don't use synthetic pesticides. Some of the nastiest pesticides out there they use. They go, well, yeah, but it's made from a chrysanthemum. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's a non-selective herbicide that, if it gets into the water, destroys all of the aquatic life. It's a non-selective herbicide that will kill anything it comes in contact with. Yes, but it's organic. Who cares? It's bad for the environment. I don't care if the pesticide, you know, comes from mother's milk. If it's bad for the environment, it's bad. But just because it's organic, it's okay. The same thing with sulfur dust. They go, oh, if vines are supposed to be, you know, if the soils are healthier and the vines are healthier, why do you got to use sulfur dioxide? I mean, pardon me, sulfur dust. And they go, well, but it's organic. I'm going, wait a minute, it's organic. Do you know where the sulfur comes from? Well, it's organic. I go, it comes from the byproduct of the petroleum processing industry. You know what sweet crude is?
Yeah.
Sweet crude. Okay.
Yep.
Sweet crude has got not much sulfur in it. You know, sour crude's got more sulfur in it. When they process our gasoline and our diesel fuels, they take that sulfur out as molten sulfur. They throw it onto a big fuel and let it air dry. Then they scoop it up, process it, and send it to vineyards to spray on their vineyards. So, you know, to me, that's a huge hypocrisy and a de facto condemnation that biodynamics is a failure and doesn't work. Because if, as Steiner said, if you do what I show you, you will have healthy vines and healthy this, and you won't have to do these things. At this short course, somebody in the audience, not me, said, well, you know, do any of you up there on the panel, and there were about six or seven people, use only the teas for mildew control? And every one of them said, no way. Can't do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I keep coming back to religion and a comparison of biodynamics to how we treat religion.
Yeah, the religion thing is a very interesting one.
You know, what I was going to say was about that was, you know, if you read a book like Richard Dawkins' A God Delusion, right, and he sort of makes a case, part of the book makes a case for we shouldn't actually be that polite when it comes to religion, because some of the stuff isn't actually live and let live. Some of the stuff is actually very detrimental and harmful to people. And yeah, the parallels within biodynamics are kind of amazing. In a way, I mean, it's part of what you're saying is that we're viewing this as sort of very, the conventional views, you take a sort of standoffish approach, almost like you do with religion, where you say, ah, well, you know, it's what they believe. That's okay. It's not hurting anybody. But meanwhile, you're saying, well, actually, yes, It is hurting some things. Some of the preparations that they use aren't good for the environment, for example.
It's a really complicated topic. And is it harmful? I would look at and say the parallel to biodynamics and that belief system is autism. And you mentioned, the issue with evolution and teaching and creationism in Pennsylvania a couple years ago. Look at autism and what it's caused, what the damage that's been caused by bad science and people believing in something that was a hoax.
Oh, and you're talking about the vaccinations, or the
Yes.
claims that they're being connected to autism, right?
Yes. Yes. And even though the study that came out has been repudiated and withdrawn from its original publishing source, people still believe that vaccinations cause autism. And for however many years this fight has been going on in our culture, I don't know, 8, 10, however many years, we haven't been looking at the real source of what may be the real cause of autism. We have people out there, just tremendous parents, that believe in something that is false. They're ignorant of the process. They are truly ignorant of what it is that they believe has caused a problem for their children. And they go to their politicians, and they demand something be done, and money gets funneled, and attention is diverted from the true source, which we don't know yet. But we know it's not vaccinations. Now, I'm not certainly equating autism with biodynamics, but it's a similar idea. It's an analogy between the two, where people think that they can grow biodynamically and are good for the environment. Well, is it good for the environment? I don't think that that's, they claim it's better for the environment, but I can make an argument. I'm not saying I'm right, but I can make an argument that I think disputes that. For instance, they don't use pre-emergent, let's say you're in the hills, so you've got to use all this hand labor. They go through and they cut all the weeds by a machine, let's say with a weed eater. So now you've got a little, you've got, I can go out and spray with Roundup, and everybody hates Monsanto, which is fine. I don't particularly like Monsanto either, but Roundup is a great product for me because I'm in the hills. And before Monsanto, there was a chemical called Paraquat. And Paraquat was a contact herbicide, and it was deadly as hell. And I hated it, and it was bad for me. It was bad for everybody. I hated the goddamn thing. Roundup is frankly a breath of fresh air. It's not, there may be some adaptation that's going on, but as far as I can tell and what I read, it's not bad for the environment. I can spray an acre in a little over 20 minutes. I do it myself. It's on, I have a backpack, I spray it, I do it myself. Contrast that with another vineyard where they spend 3 man days to weed whip an acre. So you got three guys or one guy for 3 days, you got a machine going, you're using gas, you're creating emissions, you're having somebody drive to and fro the vineyard, you're having an increase in cost, an increased cost to the environment because now you're going to have farm worker, more farm worker housing, more farm worker trips to and fro the vineyard, and you do that throughout the entire vineyard process. So what's more sustainable? What has a smaller carbon footprint? I'm not sure, but their argument that they do, I think, can be challenged. Whether they do or not is unproven. But they have blanketly made the claim that they're more organic, that they are better for the environment. And my point is, I'm not sure that's true.
Right. Or maybe better for that particular plot of land, right? but not the environment as a whole.
The other one is that it's supposed to be a closed system. Well, it's such a closed system that Demeanor says you can bring compost from as far away as 250 miles. Well, to me, that's not a very closed system. And when you get into modern day agriculture, a lot of the things I read on my blog from people that take me on is, oh, well, these are old ancient processes and we need to go back to the way things used to be. And I'm going, the way things used to be, the way farmers used to be, they used to starve to death. They were subsistence farmers. They couldn't provide farming goods to anybody else. Mm-hmm. They, if there was a bad year, people died. We have, there may well be issues with modern agriculture, but best management practices are moving, evolving. And as I like to say, I am today a better environmentally sensitive farmer than I was 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, I was a better environmentally sensitive farmer than I was 20 years ago. And the same thing for 30 and 40 years ago. There is an evolution that goes on here. The other thing about biodynamic farming is that they do all of this harvesting by the calendar. Grapes don't get ripe by the calendar. One calendar doesn't fit Central California with Northern California with Oregon and or Washington. We're broken up into microclimates. And we should be dealing with things on a site-specific basis. And with biodynamics, they want to do it by some kind of cosmic calendar type thing. But anyway, back to the religion thing. It's a fight between religion and science. There's no question about it. Science is on one side, and biodynamics / religion is on the other side. And the people that are mostly biodynamic supporters are kind of postmodernist skeptics of science.
A couple more questions for you. I think one question that's been popping up in my mind as I'm hearing you talk is that with biodynamics, I mean, clearly that wine properties that are farming biodynamically are making great wine, right? There's great wine being made.
Well, let's just say there is great wine being made from biodynamic properties. There was probably great wine being made at that property before they went to being biodynamic.
Right. Well, that was basically what I was gonna get at. Essentially, was would you do you consider any merit in any of the aspects of what biodynamic viticulture does? So, are there components of it that you say this is actually really smart, and if Demeter's certification was more transparent and only consisted of X, Y, and Z, I would actually be happy.
Well, I think when you look at what when you synthesize biodynamics, what is biodynamics? It really is the preparations. All of the other things that are done on the farm of a biodynamic property are things that people have been doing for a long time. Bringing compost in is not unique. It's been, people have been composting vineyards and organic, products for as long as anybody's been around. Night soil goes back into the vineyard, into the farm. They knew about recycling stuff. I think the other one is that maybe the one thing is that it mandates people to get into the fields more often. Mm-hmm. But certainly great vineyardists get into the vineyards a lot too. A lot of people have told me, I don't really believe in biodynamics, but I know that they care for the soil more and that they're in the vineyards more than other people. And I'm going, that's crap. There's nobody who cares for their soil and their vineyard and what we're doing any more than I do on my farm. I defy anybody. I challenge anybody that claims that they care more about what they're doing than what I'm doing. That is complete bunk. The other one is I also challenge them that anyone can be in the vineyards more because they're biodynamic versus any other sustainable or organic or conventional farmer. That is just a myth. And it's a big lie that's sold that's told over and over and over again, and it's become the truth because it really is a big lie. Nobody says that biodynamic farmers get into the vineyards more often than anybody else or care about their lands more than anyone else. That is insulting, frankly, to many of us who really care very deeply about what it is that we're doing and what we're trying to accomplish. The real answer is there's not a hell of a lot. Mm-hmm. If it gets somebody who is ignorant, doesn't know anything about grape growing, to pay a little bit more attention to what they're doing, fine. Apparently, Gergie Chills, the fellow that Ivo, I've forgotten his last name, who spoke, he said, look, we weren't paying much attention to our vineyards. And so we decided to go biodynamically, and, you know, our vineyards are better now. Well, you know what? If they paid attention to their vineyards in the first place, maybe they wouldn't have had to go to biodynamics. But their mission is that they weren't paying attention to their vineyards. So biodynamic is kind of like a strict taskmaster. It's making mm-hmm. them get into the vineyard. If they need that to become a better farmer, fine. Just don't tell me it's better than conventional farming.
Mm, right. Stuart, one more question for you.
Shoot.
And thank you so much for spending the time. This has been great. So I think it's going to the topic is definitely going to generate a lot of discussion. Always does on the blog. But I think it's also great to get a little, you know, inside your head a little bit and get you kind of talking about what you're doing, because I think, you know, people can come away with different interpretations. It's always different to hear somebody talking directly about it. So thank you for that.
Sure.
Is there anything that would happen that you would say mission accomplished with your blog? And what I mean is,
that's a great question, Joe. As I like to say, I made the same mistake that Presidents Bush and Obama made with Iraq and Afghanistan. I didn't come up with an exit strategy. I don't know how to get out of it.
We've gone to religion and autism. Right. Now we're hitting the wars. This is great.
Yeah. I think my belief at the moment is that biodynamics will. At first I thought, and again, I come from a scientific background. I figured all I had to do was to put out a little bit of the stuff of what Steiner was, and people would go, oh my God, that's ridiculous. We're out of here. What I've come to realize is that the people who are actual readers and thinkers look at the blog and go, yep, that's idiot. We're not going there. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the people that believe in it will always believe in it. And no matter what I say or what anybody else will say, they're always going to believe in biodynamic farming. And I think in a certain way that certain people believe in homeopathy, and that even though homeopathy is discredited as a medical practice, there is still homeopathy out there, and there are people who will believe in it and probably people who will always believe in it. And in fact, I think there's a certain similarity and connection between homeopathy and biodynamics. And so the end result is that there, just like the wars, there will be no victory. There will be no end. There will be, you know, biodynamics, I think, will be with us for a very long period of time. But at least I hope that the blog gives people a pause. I didn't know that. Wow, this is what biodynamics, this is what Steiner really says. Let me also say that I think in some ways, Steiner was a very charismatic individual, and his imagination is what has propelled biodynamics forward. I also think it's what's going to ultimately hold biodynamics back, because you can't go forward while you still unequivocally embrace Steiner, because Steiner is such a loose cannon, such a fraud and a charlatan. And until they figure out a way of being able to embrace Steiner as their founder, but somehow distance themselves from him. I don't see how they can ever make it really mainstream. They will always be a fringe element, admittedly, with some very high-profile people there. But I just don't see how thinking people, rational people, can read Steiner, read what he says, and move forward with it. And I think, you know, I've had some people who have been on the blog who were past biodynamic farmers and gave it up because they said it didn't work. And I think probably 10 or 15 years from now, you're going to see the same thing. It'll still be there. It'll still be fringe. But this is its kind of wave. There's a green hysteria going across this country and the world. And because of that, they're riding that wave. But I think once the wave hits the beach after a period of time, it'll go.
All right, well, Stu, thank you very much, man. I really appreciate the time.
You're welcome. Let me just also say that it's not a fun thing to do. I really do see it as it's a time commitment. It's an obligation. It's not, this isn't fun for me. I'd rather be spending time in the vineyard or with my family or doing, other things that I enjoy doing more. But I do feel it's kind of like a mitzvah. It's a good turn to my community. That somebody's got to do it, and I'm just the unlucky stiff that's stupid enough to take on just a project.
Well, in some way, maybe it's somehow good karma coming back to you in your attempt to help, in your view, or at least
I haven't seen it yet. it's hard doing it.
As for the hard work, I'll tell you what I tell every other blogger that tells me that. So welcome to blogging, buddy.
yeah, it's just hard work.
I'm a middle of the road guy. I like the viewpoints, and they, as they often say, governing is like, being in a canoe. You got to go a little left, you got to go a little right. I definitely believe that, and I think that it's in having the different views in the first place that people are able to come to more educated opinions. So a lot of people may say, well, it's a bit negative, but as you say, if there isn't any alternative, we got to have something.
Yes, yes. And I wish I didn't have to be negative. I don't like being negative, but I don't have an alternative based on that. I am opposing a rather substantial farming paradigm. And as somebody would rightfully say, who is he to take on Romani Conti and Coulee Desserant and Burgess and all of these world famous wineries? That is very daunting. That is, it bothers me, especially since a lot of these people are my friends. That's very troubling to me, but I put it aside for the greater good, or at least ways my view of the greater good, and move forward, and we'll see what happens.
Great. Well, thanks again, and people can check it out at the URL is Biodynamics Hoax, is that right?
Biodynamics is a hoax.
.com. Okay, great. Stu, thank you very much. Take care.
You too.
Cheers. Bye.